glory from my head down to my feet. And I know it was the blood saving me. Oh, I know it was the blood saving me. Oh, what mercy just to know my blessed Savior reached way down from heaven's throne to me. There is not a single debt to hold against me.
Preach this morning.
The price was fully paid on Calvary. It was the blood that cleansed me from the inside out, giving me a calm assurance far beyond my greatest.
Salvation, eternal salvation until we are gathered together unto Him. Eternal salvation until we are gathered together unto Him. I'm reading from the book of Ephesians, one of the great books that Apostle Paul wrote, the book of Ephesians, and we're going to start with chapter 1 and verse 6. Chapter 1 and verse 6. Now I'm going to take a word out of each of this text and try to preach as many of them as possible this morning. It's really a breathtaking passage of Scripture. I love this Bible more every day of my life. I know how perfect it is. I know there's no question of its infallibility. I know that every word I read is amen, amen, cannot fail, God's perfect word. Let me read to you from Ephesians 1 and 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Listen to that. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together, notice that, gather together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Now, boy, that is a great scripture. My, what a verse of scripture. Which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, and that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom ye also trusted after ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, every one of those verses is so full of spiritual truth that reading them is impossible to get it all just reading. You got to take time. And I hope every one of you, when you get home today, or maybe tomorrow, you will take this book of Ephesians, maybe read the whole book, but read this chapter carefully. Now notice in these verses, verse 6, notice the word accepted. The verse 7, notice the word forgiven. In verse 8, notice the word abounded. In verse 9, notice the word mystery of his will. Verse 10, gathered together. Verse 11, inheritance. Verse 12, praise of his glory. Verse 13, sealed with the Holy Ghost. And verse 14, earnest. Earnest, or the down payment. Earnest, or the down payment. Now, these words are just so they're just so wonderful. They are just so breathtaking. You may be seated. Would you keep your Bible open? And keep it open to this text so that you kindly follow and you can take home then what Brother Chambers tries to preach to you. Because this is a wonderful truth. You see, I've always believed in eternal salvation. I've always believed in biblical eternal security. I've always believed that. I've always believed that I was secure in him and that there's not enough devils in hell to rob me of my salvation. There's not enough attacks of the prince of darkness to keep me from walking with Christ. There's only one person on the face of this earth that can change my destiny, and that's me. That's me. Nobody else. Nobody else. The devil, his demons, all of the darkest false prophets on the face of this earth, all of the fallen angels, all of the dark things of this world, all of the sins that are everywhere, everything out there cannot stop me because I have eternal salvation as long as Joe Chambers is committed. As long as Joe Chambers doesn't waver. As long as Joe Chambers keeps his hand in the hands of him who made the heavens and made the earth. As long as I trust him and obey him, I am secure this morning. How many can say amen? What a truth it is. What a truth it is. And I want to get it in your heart big and wide. It's very, extremely important to understand. You see, this book is a book of salvation. The whole purpose of the Bible was to bring salvation to a fallen race. The whole purpose of the Bible was to bring salvation to a believing people. The whole purpose of the Bible is to reach and get those whom he has already predestinated for his glory and bring them into his family. And nobody is excluded. He has no respecter of person. It would be horrible to think that my God has a respect of persons. It must be the darkest theology ever instituted by a fallen mind to think that God has chosen some to be saved and chosen others to be lost. That's not possible with the God I know. That's not possible with the God who has come into my life. It is just absolutely breathtaking to know that I'm his. Now, there are many words in this great passage that talks about this salvation. Please understand, the only thing I'm preaching about this morning is your salvation and how eternal it is, how supernatural it is, how wonderful it is. And I want to try to show you the value of this wonderful faith that God has brought us into. I want to show you the beauty of what Christ hath wrought by his death on that cross. I want to show you what the blood he spilt in his suffering body, what the pain that he bore in being a vicarious offering in our stead and in our behalf. I want to show you what he's done for you. I want to show you what he's wrought for you. I want to show you what a privileged people you really are. What a privileged people. Most preachers cannot preach this kind of security. They cannot preach the possibility of human failure that I'm preaching to you this morning. They cannot preach that, or they wouldn't have enough people left to pay the light bill. They really wouldn't. The churches of this generation has got to teach people that they can keep being his while they live in sin, while they do all kinds of crazy, wicked things. They got to preach to them that they're still saved regardless of what they do, because their congregation is going to fall off and their tithes and offerings are going to be diminished. And I'm telling you, they couldn't pay the light bill in many places, but we believe the truth, and we must preach the truth, and we must help people understand it. Now, go to verse 6. Let's start with this beautiful verse. Let me read the verse, and then we'll look at the word. To the praise of the glory of his grace. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Beautiful grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, you must understand that sin makes the sinner unacceptable to God. That sin makes the sinner unacceptable to his grace, except he repent. That sin makes a person unacceptable to the favors and the outpouring of heavenly mercies. God cannot pour his Holy Ghost upon a sinful temple. God cannot put his Spirit in a sinning heart. But God will take you as you surrender to him and make you acceptable to him. I love that word, acceptable. That means you have been received into his family. That means you have been received into his brotherhood of believers. That means you have been received into being a part of the body of Christ. That means you have been accepted, that he writes your name in a book of life which is preserved in the heavens and is untouchable by human hands or demon spirits. So you have been made accepted. You have been made accepted. It's a beautiful feeling to know that God has accepted me, that God has let me into his family, that God has invited me into his fellowship, that God loves to talk to me, and he loves to hear me talk to him. It's wonderful to know that I am an accepted member of the family of God. I'm accepted into the future family of heaven. It's a beautiful thing. It's not just a moment thing, and it's not just a here and now thing. It's an eternal thing. Oh, hallelujah, that God's made me part of his eternal future, that God's made me part of his eternal heaven, that God's made me part of his heavenly city, that God's made me part of all that he represents. I'm accepted into his family. Hallelujah. Oh, if a sinner could understand that. You know, sinners look at this way of salvation and they think of it as being hard. They think of it as being overbearing. They think of it as being too much. They can't handle all that responsibility. Oh, friend, they're misunderstanding what salvation is all about, is being accepted into his place of graces, into his family of mercy, into his loving fellowship. Hallelujah. I tell you, I've been having fellowship with him even this morning. I had fellowship with him yesterday. I had fellowship with him all week long because I'm accepted. I'm part of his family. You know, there's something wonderful about being accepted. It really is. Think of children who lose their parents. They have no mama and daddy. And here comes a couple along and says, I'd like to take that little one home with me, and I'll accept her as though she was my own flesh, and I'll make her part of me. And children raised in these homes, if the parents are wise and full of wisdom, those children don't even know that that's not mommy and that's not daddy in the biological sense. All they know is, I've been accepted in this family. I'm part of this family. I don't have to get permission when I come to breakfast. I don't have to get permission when I come to supper. I don't have to get permission to use my bedroom. I don't have to get permission for the good favors this family bestows upon me. I've been accepted. I want you to know you've been accepted, and you're part of a heavenly family, and you're part of all the benefits of that family, and you don't need to ask him to let you come to his house and worship. You've been accepted, and you can come right in here and throw your hands as high as you can get them. If you can't get them high enough, you can stand up like Brother Derek and get them higher. Hallelujah. Because you have been accepted. You are part of his family. Woo! Hallelujah. That's exciting to me. I'm accepted this morning. Little old Joe Chambers, some farm boy from Bushy Fork that didn't even know how to drive a tractor well. Some little kid that couldn't read or write or understand. But he accepted me just like I was. He didn't say, go get you an education and then I'll receive you in my family. He didn't say, go and get you some better clothes to wear and then I'll make you one of my sons. He didn't say, you go and learn how to read and then I'll let you become mine. He just accepted me like I stood there with an old straw hat and a pair of overalls in a woolen shirt and woolen shoes. Hallelujah. He accepted me to be part of his family, and I've been part of it ever since, and I'm happy about it. Anybody part of his family? Have you been accepted? Oh, hallelujah. Run some ahoy. Hallelujah. I tell you right now, I didn't know this one word was going to be so wonderful. But I'm here to tell you, we've been accepted. We've been accepted. We're part of a royal family. Hallelujah. A royal priesthood, if I can say it like he says it. Hallelujah. We are his. We are his. We are his. Raise your hand and say, thank you, Lord, for accepting me just like I was. I can hardly handle that. I can hardly handle that. That God accepted me just like I was. Hallelujah. And some people don't like me now. Oh, some people don't like everything about me. Maybe I'm a little bit crude sometimes. Maybe I say a little too much sometimes. But I'm telling you, God accepts me as one of his sons. Hallelujah. God accepts me as one of his preachers. Hallelujah. I've been accepted. Hallelujah. Would you say it out loud? I've been accepted. I like that. Hallelujah. I've been accepted. And you've been accepted. Just like you are. Just like you are. I'm so glad that God don't come to us and ask anything for us and of us except to surrender to him. That's all he asks. He don't ask you to clean up the past because you couldn't if you tried. He don't ask you to straighten out some of the things in your conversations. He says, I'll do that if you'll just give it to me, if you'll just turn it over to me. Oh, if sinners could just know, all they got to do is surrender. They don't have to do a thing. Oh, sorry about that English. They don't have to do a thing to be accepted except surrender. Hallelujah. He'll take you as his and make you like he wants you to be. Accepted in the beloved. Notice those words. Notice those words. Accepted in the beloved. That means you are accepted into the entirety of his love. into the bountifulness of his love, into the many extremes of his love. Everything in his love is now yours because you have been accepted. Hallelujah. Let me move on. I'm not going to get all of them, but that's no worry. Let's just get those we can get. Number 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace has bought the price for you so that he forgives you of your sins. Now, I don't want anybody to sit here this morning and think of what a sorry rascal you was. Let me just say it and not go too deep in it. But every one of us was sorry in our sins. We had grievously hurt the heart of God. We had hurt the heart of mommy and daddy, probably, and many others who loved us. We had been hard, we had been stubborn and rebellious and do our own thing, and probably the best here in this building did things that your mom and daddy don't know and you wouldn't dare want them to know. Anybody that way? There are some things I did that ain't none of your business, and I'm not going to tell you, because they're so far gone, hallelujah, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again, cast behind the back of God, hallelujah. If I should go to God this morning in personal conversation and say, Father, tell me what a rascal I was before Jesus came into my life, my Father would say, my son, I'm glad to tell you, I don't remember what you were. I don't remember your deep dark sins. I don't remember what a little busy boy you were. All I remember is when Jesus saved you, you became one of mine. I forgave. He forgave. The angels forgave. Oh, hallelujah. Your sins are gone. Your sins are gone. You have been forgiven. What a word. What a word. He's talking about salvation, and that's the beauty of it. He forgives every sin you've ever committed in the totality of your prior life. And if you sin as a believer and you fall on your face and repent, he'll forgive you again. He won't allow you to do it willingly. He won't allow you to do it without any sense of repentance. He won't allow you to go and do it and be accepted in your sins. But he will forgive you of them and cleanse you. Hallelujah. He is your high priest. He is your mercy seat. He is the place of your repentance. Hallelujah. And so he will forgive you. He will forgive you. And if you sin, he will forgive you. You can't do it willingly, and you can't do it, habitually, but if you fall into sin, he will forgive you. How many are glad for that? Oh, hallelujah. I love him this morning. I love him. So forgiveness, another great word. Don't ever forget it. Remember the word accepted. That word I never preached on before in my life, but that word got a hold of me. Because I'm here to tell you, I've been accepted. Hallelujah. And that I've been forgiven. You see, he literally has to accept you before he forgives you. Now think about that. I know it all happens so simultaneously. It all happens so immediately that it's hard to even set them apart. But I think I can say to you that he accepts you, and in the moment of accepting you, he forgives you. Because he couldn't forgive you if he didn't accept you. Hallelujah. I said he couldn't forgive you if he didn't accept you. You repented, and he said, well, he means business. I accept him, and I will forgive him. I don't know how quick it happens. All I know is they both happen, and I got both of them. Hallelujah. I've been accepted, and I've been forgiven. Isn't that beautiful? But then I go on, wherein he hath abounded. He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, this verse is something you need to take to heart this morning. Because once you've been forgiven and accepted, he wants to abound. And that word abound means to overly multiply. It means a superabundance. It means more than you can hardly handle. It means more than you can hardly stand. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's been a lot of times in my life when the grace of God has come sweeping over my heart until it was more than I could stand. Hallelujah. I remember reading where an old Presbyterian preacher said, don't let these waves continue because I can't stand anymore. And yet he said, I had no fear of them. I wanted them to continue anyway. Hallelujah. He wants to abound in you. He wants to give you wisdom and prudence and put you on the right path and direct your life. Hallelujah. He don't save you so you can do your own thing. He saves you so he can reveal his will to you. So he can make known to you the ways of righteousness. It's no wonder they've had to preach eternal security in sin in most churches because most people have never been born again. They've never really been saved. They're just religious. And if you want to be religious and be accepted in the church, you've got to be able to be forgiven without quit sinning. And it just isn't biblical because he responds to you with abundance of grace. He makes you to know the love of his kingdom in your heart. He is wonderful to abound toward you in all wisdom and prudence. Now think about that. How about raise your hand? How many of you will think a moment about that? I don't want to preach so fast you forget some of these important things. He wants to abound superabundance in you with his wisdom. And notice that word prudence. That's the effect of wisdom. That's being wisely in your conduct. That's being wisely in the way you live his grace. That's being prudent and thinking before you act and being careful in your discipline and discipline yourself to live pure and clean. Oh, that's a powerful verse. How much of the church world just can't get it together? They're always out of order here and out of order there. They're not sure they're going to make this and they're not sure they're going to get there. And I'm going to tell you, he wants to give you abundance of wisdom and prudence and put your life in order. How many want your life to be in order? Let me see your hand. Raise it way up high. I want my life to be in order. Well, abounding. I love that. Abounding. He wants to abound in you. Open your heart. He wants to fill it. Open your mind. He wants to flood it. Open your spirit. He wants to load it up with a sense of his glory. Open your whole personality. Open your own flesh. Everything of you. Open it up wide to him and say, Lord, just fill me with thyself. Just fill me with thyself, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. What a picture. What a picture. And then we move on. I like verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now listen to me. Listen to me carefully. The mystery of his will. A gentleman called me yesterday, and he was so confused about the Bible until I had to quickly try to be kind and yet move on. And I took enough time to show that I was patient with him, but he was just so confused. He said, God's going to first come, and the righteous are going to be out of here first, and then... I mean, sorry, the wicked are going to be out of here first, and then the righteous. And where'd you get that? Oh, Matthew 13. I went there this morning and read it. And oh, how confused he was. It was pitiful. It was pitiful. There's a world full of people that have all kinds of theological ideas. I get articles, and I get many people with all kinds of suggestions of how wrong my theological thinking is. And I get amazed. I don't read them all, but I read enough to know what's wrong with this world. I'll tell you what's wrong. They need the mystery of his will. Are you listening? Would you take those words? Say them with me. Mystery of his will. Now let's take word one, mystery. What does the word mystery mean? In the Bible, it means that which you cannot know except God reveal it to you. That which you cannot know except God reveal it to you. You're not going to understand the rapture if you don't let God make real his wisdom in you. You're not going to understand all the great things of this Bible if you don't open yourself up to the mystery of His will. I've seen people grow, I mean just grow so beautifully, because they became open to the mystery of His will. They were saved. They were born again. The Spirit of the Lord wrought a work in them. Their sins were forgiven, and He began to abound in them in wisdom. And before you knew it, they were talking the things of God with beautiful understanding. Where does it come? The mystery of His will. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? How many want the Holy Ghost to teach you the mysteries of God? How many want the Holy Ghost to teach you the deep things of God? How many want the Holy Ghost to lead you down the pathway of great biblical understanding so that you can be a blessing to other people everywhere you go? Well, He will give you the mystery of His will. It's part of salvation. If you don't have it, it's your fault. If you don't have it, you're not hungry. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I mean, this business of God is a feeling, and another feeling. And after 64 years, I'm still being filled. I still need to be filled. I still find places where there's an emptiness. And I cry out, fill me, Lord. Oh, the mystery of His will is a never-ending life of walking with God and understanding His ways and His will and being ever more cleansed and filled with the wisdom of God. It's a beautiful thing. It's an outstanding. The simplest little people, the simplest little minds can become so sharp and so understanding of the will of God when they let the Holy Ghost be their teacher. How many of you will say, Spirit of God, be my teacher? Raise your hand and say it out loud, will you? Spirit of God, be my teacher. Spirit of God, lead me in the deep things. Spirit of God, give me the mysteries of your will in my life. This is all part of salvation. He didn't save you to leave you as a dumb bunny on a pew in a church that didn't understand anything about God. He saved you to walk you through the pathway of all of His great truths. An unending journey. Hallelujah. Isn't that something? An unending journey. I think about God teaching, and I think about how it just goes on and on and on. I've watched so many Bibles living in this book. I'm telling you, it is just unending. And I get amazed when I read the scripture anymore, because I read it and I think, wow, how did I miss that? Wow, how did I miss that? Why has this been so long? Brother Joey and I was talking the other day, and I said, Brother Joey, you and I are both kind of dumb. Do you know that? Here we are discovering these wonderful things. Why didn't we discover them a long time ago? Well, God is guiding us step by step. The mystery of His will. I love that. But then he goes on, and the very next verse, notice what he says, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ Jesus, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Can you read that verse again? Every one of you, read that verse again. And then say to yourself, what is God saying to us? What is God that in the dispensation of the fullness of times? When is the fullness of times? When the rapture takes place. That's part of it. The fullness of times is God doing what God's going to do in the time that God's going to do it. And He's not going to tell you in advance, most likely. He'll tell some things to His prophets and His people in advance. But most of us are going to learn most of these things when they happen, when they occur in the dispensation of the fullness of time. Those are beautiful words. Do you hear me? Those are beautiful words. In the dispensation of the fullness of time. What's He going to do? He's going to gather together in Himself. Even those in heaven and those on earth. You talk about a prophetic picture. He's talking about bringing those saints from heaven to get their bodies when He comes to get us, both spirit, soul, and body. They come with their spirit and soul to get their body. We, with our body and soul, suddenly get this transformed body, and we meet together, and we are gathered together. He's talking about the rapture. Did you hear me? He's talking about the rapture. We got a world full of people that say the rapture was never taught in the New Testament. And some preacher by the name of Darby discovered this theology and began to teach it. They don't know what they're talking about. Apostle Paul preached it over and over and over again. When we are gathered together in Him. What can it be, Brother Danny, but the rapture? How is he going to gather the living and the dead at the same time if he doesn't do it in the rapture, Brother Marlon? It's a beautiful picture. It shows the harmony of the Bible. It shows the perfection of the Bible. As I've been studying the life of Apostle Paul, I've been overwhelmed by what I'm learning. I've been overwhelmed by how long it's been. Let me tell you, this book of Ephesians was written to the church at Ephesus. Could I tell you something about Ephesus? On Paul's third missionary journey, he went to Ephesus almost immediately. There were some churches he visited along the way, but Ephesus wasn't too far from Tarsus, maybe 300 miles, 400 miles, and he had walked there, and he got to Ephesus, and boy, what a revival they had. The first thing that happened was the Jewish priest had some sons. The high priest had 6-7 sons, and they decided they'd cast out devils like Paul was doing. So they found this man who was really, he was a case man. He was one wild dude, and he was full of devils. And so 7 sons gathered around him, and they did it publicly. And they said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And the devil said, I know who Jesus is, and I know who Paul is, but who are you dudes? Well, he didn't say dudes, but who are you fellas? And he jumped up, the man possessed, and beat the socks off of all 7 of them. Stripped their clothes. I mean, he made mincemeat out of all 7 of them. And they ran out of the house naked and wounded. Hallelujah. And everybody in Asia Minor heard the story. That's what the Bible says. All the Jews and all the Greeks, they all together heard the story. And revival started. You study that book of Acts about the revival at Ephesus, and you'll be overwhelmed. Did you know what I discovered this week? Ephesus and Smyrna and Sardis and Pergamos and Thyatira and Philadelphia and Laodicea. Those 7 churches were all born out of that revival that Paul had at Ephesus. They are right around in walking distance of the church at Ephesus. So there you have the book of Revelation that came out of Paul's Holy Ghost revival in Ephesus. Hallelujah. And thousands were saved. I even believe there was more saved in Ephesus than were saved at Pentecost, both in the 3,000 and the 5,000 over the few days. Listen to me. Now Paul writes them, and he's talking about gathering the saints together. He's coming for us. Did you know he's coming for us? Gathered together. I don't know about you, but I'm getting ready to be gathered. Hallelujah. I'm tired of being a vine out here in this old crazy world. I want to be a special saint flying up through the air to meet the King, the Savior. He's gathering his saints. It won't be long, church. It won't be long, church. He's coming for us. How many of you know he's coming for you? How many of you feel he's coming for you? How many could go right now if Jesus would come for you? Could you be gathered this morning? Could you be picked from the vineyard of God's eternal family this morning? Could you be gathered from the fruit tree of God's divine fruit this morning? Could you be one of those that sow? Oh, somebody stand and raise your hands with all of us, and let's praise him together. He's going to gather his saints. He's going to gather his saints. Hallelujah. I love it. Hallelujah. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, someone says, Reverend Chambers, you preach too much about the rapture. Well, my problem is I read about it everywhere I read. What do I do but preach what I read? Oh, hallelujah. What a redeemer. What a savior. What a master. Glory. Let's go to the next verse. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. An inheritance. Do you hear me this morning? Do you hear me this morning? We have obtained an inheritance. We are His. We've got an inheritance in the sky above. What a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. Let me move on quickly and mention each word. And then we have the words, praise of His glory. And then we have the words, sealed by the Holy Ghost. I got to spend a minute there. Sealed. By the Holy Ghost. Sealed by the Holy Ghost. Hear me, saints. We've been sealed by the Holy Ghost. We've been sealed by the Holy Ghost. Would you stand with me? I want you to stand and claim His wonderful grace and His wonderful mercy and all of His goodness to us, all of His favor to us, all of the kindness of His graces to us. Lord, I love You this morning. I love You, Lord, this morning. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We'll say it our way, sealed with the Holy Ghost. You know, that is one of the greatest truths in this Bible, that when the Lord saves you, when you are born again, there isn't just something that goes on inside of you that makes you clean and makes you a new creature, writes your name in the book of life, makes you part of the family of God, but there is the Holy Ghost of God that renews the spirit in man. The spirit in man has kinship to God from creation. But when the Holy Ghost renews the spirit of man, it's like He puts a stamp on that spirit of the ownership that God now owns you. You don't belong to yourself. You don't belong to the world. You don't belong to the devil. You don't belong to the devil's crowd. You've got a new seal. You've got a new identity. You've got a new relationship. You're sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. I remember the night that I was saved. I remember that night vividly. I'm just a kid. Know nothing about the Bible. Know nothing about Scripture. Couldn't quote one verse. Not one verse. Couldn't even read. And yet, immediately when I got saved, I knew I was a new creature. I knew that something divine had happened to me. I knew I went to church a goat, and I'm going home a sheep. Now, you can't identify that, no way, but saying the Holy Ghost of God invaded the spirit of little Joe Chambers, the country boy, and put a new stamp of identity upon my heart, and I belong to God. I didn't belong to the world. I belong to God. I was a new creature. It was like immediately there was a wall built around me. There was an identity that took hold of me. There was angels that began to care and to supervise and to watch over me. And I remember it from that hour. I can remember it as good as I stand here. That immediately I'm this new creature. Now you can't identify it. No way better than to say I was sealed with the Holy Ghost of God. Now, what's missing in our church world is people don't know what it means to be born again. So they've never been sealed. So they keep on sinning. And the preacher says, don't worry, you've been saved. And so He'll forgive your sins. And they never get saved because nobody ever tells them this wonderful truth of being born again. How many can say tonight, I'm born again? I've been sealed with the Holy Ghost of God. I've got a new identity. I belong to a new ownership. I'm not the world's any longer. I don't belong to the devil. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah tonight. It's a wonderful joy to be changed like that. If we could every sinner in the world to understand that regardless of their condition, regardless of where they're at in their life, regardless of what's going on in their little brain, or what's going on in their habits and their lifestyle, to understand if you'll come to Christ and you'll surrender to Him, He'll not only forgive your sins, He'll not only write your name down in the book of life, He'll not only make you a part of the family, He'll not only put you in the body of Christ, but He'll seal your heart with the Holy Ghost. And then the devil can't do a thing unless you invite him to do it. The devil is locked out. The devil is closed off. You belong to Christ. You're His. And the truth of what they preach about eternal security is that there is that little element in there that gives you that wonderful security. They just don't understand that you're responsible to obey the Word of God, to live in the Word of God, and to be obedient to God. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Is that what the book said? So all you got to do is add your surrender. How many can raise a hand and let's make a fresh surrender tonight? Lord, we belong to You. Lord, we're saved by the blood. We are a new creature in Christ. We've been born again. We've been born again. We've been born.
When the time comes and I'm standing at the river that separates the two worlds that I love, torn between my precious friends and my family, and the place of peace that's waiting up above. Hold my hand and stay there by my side, and when
celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep
because I'm heaven's throne. With the shield and word of God to guide me, it's a comfort knowing I am not alone. So when I take my